Amen. When I think about breakthroughs, I think back over time in history. I think about scientific breakthroughs. I think about the Reese's breakthrough, how they found to put the little peanut butter cup inside of a chocolate bar and it makes a tasty little snack. That's not a very big breakthrough, but it was a breakthrough of some sort. But I also think about the breakthrough of when Columbus set sail across the ocean on an apparently flat world, which was thought at that time. And he and his crew members, the fleet, the armada, I don't know how big a fleet they sent out. But as they left land, they were possibly sailing to the end of the earth to drop off a giant waterfall. It was a calculated risk that, yes, the world might be flat and there might be a drop-off. But one not believed theory, but there was the theory that, no, it's round and you'll just come back to the same continent or find new land. So the crew loads up, they get in their ships, they begin to set sail across the ocean. They're going for a breakthrough. Sometimes in our lives we're headed toward a breakthrough. We don't know what it looks like on the other side. Sometimes there's a little bit of adversity that says, don't do it, it's going to be bad. Don't do it, the world's flat, you're going to fall off the end. Sometimes we go out into the unknown as we're seeking a breakthrough in God. But God's Word promises us that He never fails. God's Word promises us that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you look back over the history of God and what He's done for mankind and how He's treated mankind, His heart is love for mankind. He has love for us. So as you're pushing for a breakthrough in your life, trust in God. Trust that God has your best interest in mind. God has your best future in mind. And if you're pushing through for His breakthrough, it's going to be great. Because His breakthroughs aren't about us, they're just for us. They're for us and about Him. Our breakthroughs should bring glory to God Almighty. Our breakthroughs should bring praise and honor to the Lord God Almighty. I'm going to read a scripture in Matthew real quick. Pat, you don't have this one, so don't get lost. This was a card that was given to me probably when I was 14. It's always been in my Bible. It's always transferred as I wore one Bible out. It goes to my new Bible. Card's actually in really good shape, a lot better than any of my Bibles. It's Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I keep that in my Bible to remind me I'm not living for me. I'm living for God. My next breakthrough is to glorify God. My next breakthrough is to praise God. My next breakthrough is so those around me will say, Arby, what's changed? What's different? What are you doing? I've noticed something different about you. And it gives me an opportunity to give my testimony about how good God is to me, of what a great thing God has done for me. Several years ago, I met a fellow on the street that I went to high school with. We started talking. He says, what are you up to these days? I said, you know, I work, you know, as a hunting guide and I'm a pastor over a local church. And I about had to catch him because he about fell over. He said, you say you're a what? I said, I'm a pastor over a local church across town. He goes, a pastor? My good drinking buddy, Arby? That was a breakthrough in my life by the power of God. And now I have a testimony to my friends that were my drinking buddies, that are no longer my drinking buddies. Some of them are my church buddies now. Some of them are church buddies yet to come. Amen? The breakthrough was not for me. It was about God. It was that God may be glorified in my life. Amen? You guys are quiet today. Is it the cold weather? Has you all clammed up? Could be, possibly. Well, I have five steps that I've written down, put together, for achieving a breakthrough in your life. First of all, you have to have the realization. You have to realize, I need a breakthrough. First step, I need a breakthrough. Something has to change. My marriage isn't working, it needs fixed. I'm not working, I need fixed. My job isn't working, it needs fixed. My bowl won't come home. He needs fixed. I know there's one guy here that has a lost bowl that won't come home, so he needs fixed. Not to point anyone out or anything. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a word from men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Sometimes our realization is coming from someone else. And we have to realize, okay, it's not, we're going to say Lyle talking to me. It's God talking through Lyle to me. We have to be sensitive enough in our spirit to know, okay, this isn't something Lyle would normally say to me. Why is it coming to me? Because God speaks to us through other people on occasion. If you're married, it's usually through your wife. That's often a joke. It says, what's the voice of the Holy Spirit? You know, it's your wife's. My wife has great wisdom. If she speaks, I pay attention. It usually means something. There are several people in my life that I allow to speak into my life and give me direction and that speak the Word of God into my life. And I know when they're speaking to me, I need to pay attention because God's trying to tell me something through them. If you never pay attention to the people around you, never pay attention to what they're saying, oh, that's just Johnny talking again. Sometimes God's trying to help us realize we need some help. Help us realize we need a breakthrough. And He's using someone else around us to deliver that message. And if we're not aware of that, we're going to miss what God has for us. So pay attention. Who are the spiritual leaders in your life that can speak into your life the Word of God, that can give you direction? And are you listening and paying attention to them? So once we realize we have a problem, once we realize we need a change of pace, a change of actions, we need to identify, what is it? What is the problem? What's not working? What's not happening well? Where do I need to be? Where am I? And where do I need to be? Just recently, we had a lion hunter out at work. He was only going to be here for 2 days. So, okay, we have a problem. Mountain lions are hard to catch to begin with. First of all, you have to find them. Second of all, the guy's only here for 2 days. That's really limited time to catch a mountain lion. So we have a problem, and we've identified we need a mountain lion to catch. So we start looking a couple days before this guy shows up, and we find some tracks in the snow. We didn't have very much snow at that time, so we couldn't really tell where the cat was. He was just somewhere in the area. So we began looking and searching, and finally the guy shows up, and we still haven't found where the cat is. We just know he's somewhere. Finally, the first day out with the guy, we start hiking the drainages, and we're hunting a private piece of property. And we're hiking from the valley floor almost up to the prairie level, right to the edge of the property line. And it's about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're on our third drainage. I'm getting kind of tired, so I know the guy with me is really tired. I can see the property line. It's about 60 yards away. I can see the fence, and I'm like, well, there's obviously not a track here. We're here. Something inside of me said, go to the fence. Finish it. Go all the way. I walk right to the fence. I'm leaning on a post, and there's a patch of snow about this big, and there's a big smudge mark in it. And I'm like, that's kind of odd. It looks like somebody just fell down and slipped here. But there's no tracks. I'm thinking, okay, right at the fence line, often that's one of our common corners that poachers will come in and shoot animals on our property. So I start looking on the other side of the fence for boot tracks and drag marks where they're dragging an animal away. I don't see any. I'm like, well, if it didn't go that way, it had to go this way. So I start circling, trying to find more snow to find another track because the rest of the ground is froze. Finally, I start seeing a little bit of deer hair here and there, and I piece the track together. I'm like, something's dragging a deer here. Pretty soon I find a little bit of snow and can't see any boot prints, and I'm like, it's got to be a lion. So we walk about 50 feet further, and here's the lion bedded up on his deer. But if I hadn't went right to the fence, if I would have stopped 10 feet short, I wouldn't have seen it. At 5 feet, I might have saw it, but it was right at the wire. That's what we're talking about today. Push to the wire. Go to the very end. Go to the furthest extent possible. We had to go within one step of the fence line to find this track. On the track there wasn't even a lion track. It was just a smudge mark. So we turned loose. We caught the lion, of course. Sometimes in our lives we're going, we're seeking something, we want something so bad, and we get so close to the fence,
the wire, the end of our rope, to what God has in store for us, whatever you want to call it today, and we get tired, so we turn around, and we go back. We walk away discouraged, we walk away depressed, we walk away thinking, God, you don't love me, otherwise I would have got what it was I wanted. God said, no, because you didn't give it your all. You didn't love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your ability. And that's what I've required of you. That's what I've asked of you. If we don't give God our all, He's not giving us His all. His all is always available to us. But we've got to give into Him our all. Amen. That amen hurts sometimes. Just saying, yeah, I do need to give my all, God. Now I'm going to do better, right? So we've identified we have a problem. After we identify what the problem is, we have to
begin to form a plan, a solution. How do we fix the problem? How do we overcome this obstacle? Up to this point, things are pretty easy. It's all sitting down, work at the table. You're writing out a few things. Proverbs 16:9 gives us a little bit of insight. Proverbs 16, verse 9. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. If you start making plans without adding God to your plan, you're pretty foolish. You're not being wise. God says He will direct our steps. He will direct our paths. And if we inquire of Him, if we ask of Him, He will deliver unto us what we need to know. He will deliver unto us a plan that will be perfect, that will be excellent, that will get us to the breakthrough we need in our lives. But if we don't seek Him, we're just walking on our own knowledge, on our own strength, on our own ability. And it's pretty futile compared to that which God has in store for us. We're going to look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Gain some more insight from the Word of God. This is what God says to do if you're thinking of planning something. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God, this is what I want to do in 2013, but what do you want me to do? God's really been showing me throughout this fast some influences in my life that I've let around me, some things that are influencing me that are not of God, that are not godly maybe. And He says, Arby, I need you to push these back for a while. I need you to not see those people for a while. I need you to not hang around with those people for a while. They're people I'm trying to minister to, people I'm trying to bring to know Christ. But God has asked me to step back from them for a while. He's asked me to remove myself from relationship with them for a while. For what reason, what purpose, I don't know. But it's God's plan and it's God's purpose, so that's what I'm doing. Because He's asked me to do that. Without fasting and praying, I don't believe I would have known that, and I don't know where those relationships would have taken me. Maybe they would have got me in trouble. I have no idea. But I thank God for His Spirit. I thank God for His direction and showing us. And if we will yield ourselves to Him, He will reveal to us the steps we need to take in our lives. So after we have a plan, then the hard stuff starts. Now we have to execute. We're through the planning stage. Now this is when the rubber hits the road. This is when the feet hit the mat. You got to start working it through. You've got to execute the plan. You've got to bring it to completion. When we were talking about how to find this mountain lion, it was really easy to sit around the lodge, drink coffee, and eat cookies and say, yeah, we need to catch a mountain lion. We need to find one. I think there might be one over there. I think there might be one over there, maybe up that canyon. That was easy. But when we actually got out there on the ground, we began hiking from the valley floor to the prairie level. The first one wasn't too bad. The second one wasn't too bad. The third one was getting tiring. And at the end of the third one, if we didn't find there, you know, we'd just keep hitting another one until it got dark. And it got tough. And by the third one, I'm already wanting to say, okay, there's the fence line. I don't see anything. Let's go. And by the fourth one, maybe I would have said, yeah, the property line's up there about a mile. Let's turn back. I wouldn't have, but. Where in our lives do we quit executing? If we think about execution in the physical sense, it's where it gets messy. It's where it gets dirty. If you think about it military style, you have to pull the trigger. And we're talking about breakthrough in our lives. We have to execute all that is within us that is not of God. No, I'm not an axe murderer. No, I'm not an adulterer. No, I'm not. But there are things in me that are not of God that I need to remove daily, that I need to purify daily, that I need to execute daily to remove from my life. And throughout my walk with Christ, I continue executing parts of me that are not of God, parts of me that are not wholly sold out to God. I continue purifying myself until one day, which I know won't be until I get to heaven, I'll be perfect before God, except through Jesus Christ. Amen. Execution is tough sometimes. Excuse me. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." The Israelites at this point have just spent 350 years in bondage, in slavery. God had a plan for them, a breakthrough for them. They wouldn't do what He wanted them to do. They wouldn't submit to God. Until one day, finally, Moses comes along and becomes the leader. God reveals His plan to Moses, says, "Will you do it? Will you have a breakthrough for this tribe of Israel?" Moses says, "Okay." So at this point, they've been released from the Egyptian power. They've been sent out into the wilderness. They're crossing the wilderness, and before them is the Red Sea. And they look behind them, and who's coming but the Egyptians? Pharaoh and his army. And the people begin bickering and fighting and say, "Moses, you brought us here to die. It would be better that we were slaves in Egypt, where we had food and houses, and we knew we were protected by them, rather than to come into the desert and die." And often we look at God and say, "God, why have you brought me here? God, you said you wanted me to have a breakthrough. God, you said you would provide for me, but you brought me here and all I see is failure. All I see is death. I would rather be where I was than where I am now." And Moses stands before the people and says, Just be still. For me, that's the hardest part for me, is to just be still. It's like, God, you don't see what I see, obviously, because this is turmoil and destruction. The Egyptians are coming. We need to do something. And God's saying, just be still. Let me be God. Let me do what I came to do. Let me deliver you as I said I would deliver you. Let me carry you through this breakthrough in your life that you need. But just be still and let me be God. So we know God opens up the Red Sea, which to me is pretty awesome. I know some people say it was like a tablespoon of water in the sea. It was mostly dry anyway. I envision walls of water hundreds of feet tall on both sides, and the Israelites walking through on dry land. And if it was only a tablespoon of water, it was pretty amazing that God drowned the whole Egyptian army in a teaspoon of water. Amen. Either way, it was a miracle that day. But I envision the fish popping out of the water and flopping down the dry ground, flopping around. Got to have some fun with it, right? God delivers them, but they still had to push through. They had to get into the water for it to separate, for it to come apart. They had to trust that Moses' staff held over the water was going to keep the water apart as they walked through the water. And it wasn't like a half a dozen people had to go through. It was close to 1 million people had to go through. It's not like the water just had a lapse of time and then came back together. But God has those kind of breakthroughs in store for us. But we have to go to the wire. We have to push the envelope. We have to step into the water. We have to execute the plan, which means we have to push through even the hard times, even when life sucks. I don't know if I can say that up here, but I did. Sorry if I offended you. But that's life. The Word of God tells us it will rain on the just and the unjust. The only thing that separates you as a just person from an unjust person is you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Life still happens to us all. It all gets better when we make it to heaven. That's when there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more lying, cheating, stealing. That's when it gets great. Amen? And from this point to that point is nothing but breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. The more breakthroughs you experience, the more of God you experience. The more breakthroughs you experience, the more glory God gets. God says, look what I did with my servant Arby. Look what I did in his life. He says, I want to do that for you too. Finally, after we execute our plan, we're in the middle of execution. It's tough. It will get hard, but we need to push on because we have to finish. We have to finish what God has started in us. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God has begun a good work in you. First of all, you were born. And he has a work to carry out in you until the day Jesus Christ returns to take us in the rapture, or until the day we pass and go to be with our Lord and Savior. The day it is complete is the day you enter into the gates of heaven. Until then, we're a work in progress. Until then, we need a breakthrough. Each one of us. Some of us need it in our personal lives. Some of us need it in our health. Some of us need it in our marriages. Some of us need it in our parenting. Some of us need it as an employer, as an employee. Some of us need it spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, intellectually. What breakthrough do you need today in your life? Because our God is a God who breaks through. Our God is more than enough. Our God is a conqueror of anything that would come against you in your life today. Seek Him for it. Your God is Almighty. Your God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Endure the race. The reward is worth it. The Israelites, their promise way back when of their breakthrough they were going to receive was the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Because of their disobedience, because every time things got hard, they would revert back to idolatry, to sin. It took them over 40 years to get to the promised land. It should have took them 2 or 3 weeks. God has promises in store for you according to His Word that He wants to bring to fulfillment in your life. But if you will not push through the hard times and break through, it will take you 40 years to achieve what you should be able to achieve in 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 days of fasting. If you do not push through, you will not receive the full inheritance the Lord has in store for you here on this earth. Salvation, yes, you can get to heaven. You can inherit the kingdom of God. But here on this earth, God has breakthroughs in store for you that don't only affect you, but they affect your neighbors, your friends, your family. So push to the wire. Get your breakthrough today. Amen? Finish. So you need to realize, identify, plan, execute. Most of all, finish the race God has set before you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. God, we thank You for Your promises. God, we thank You for Your strength. God, Your ability and talents You've placed inside of us, God. Father, as we seek You today, God, point out to us, God, the breakthroughs You have in store for us. God, that we would come to them in fulfillment of Your Word. God, according to Your promises. God, that we may receive all that You would have for us. Father, as we go today, we ask Your blessing upon those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to invite the ushers to come. They're going to gather the offering in. Also, inside your folder, you have a Connect card. On the front side, it has your personal information, your name, phone number, address, whatever you're willing to share with us. It just helps us stay connected with you. We have a resource so we can contact you. And on the reverse side, there's some boxes you could check. Today I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you've come to realization today that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've said, yes, I need a Savior, I accept Jesus, mark that box. Next one down is I would like to help purchase sink or swim books. And it has some one-time gift, how much each book costs, how much you would like to donate per month for 1 year. The Sink or Swim book is a great evangelism tool for us. It has testimonies of 7 different people in the church, how God has changed their lives, how He's taken us from drunkards and liars and cheaters and robbers and restored us to where we're now good citizens. That was putting it nicely, wasn't it? It's a great testimony way of how God has done work in our lives. Next box down, please contact me about becoming a member of the Life Center. Our annual business meeting's coming up next month, so if you would like a membership form, you can get that at the Information Center. I am participating in our 21-day breakthrough fast. Let us know if you have anything to share from your fast. Also down below, if you have any prayer requests, God says bring your prayers, your petitions, your requests before Him. We have a prayer team that prays over these. Also, if you have any answers to prayers that you've written in, any testimonies you'd like to share with us, please write that in as well. Amen. If you would fill that out, drop it in the after.